Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Happy Open Line Thursday, Rickies. We are the Junks. We're coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan. If you're listening in Richmond, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, it's very simple. You go to cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team. Got a four-man Junks show getting you through this Thursday. I'm Cakes, at Money Metal Cakes on your Twitter, at Cakes Flops on the Instagram. Jason Bishop is also here.
Yeah, what's up?
Hello.
What's up?
As is John Paul Flame.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Eric Bickle.
Hey, buddy. What day is today?
It's Thursday.
Today's Thursday? All
Thursday,
right.
September 17th.
Just a couple days from the official start of fall.
That's right.
Is that right?
Still summer.
What is the official
September
start?
September 20th or 21st?
20th or 21st, you're right.
Oh, okay,
is that
wow.
The summer solstice? I'm not 100% sure.
No, that's different.
It's different?
The summer solstice is when it's the longest day.
Oh, okay, I'm getting mixed up.
Yeah.
It's here.
Yeah.
It actually starts September 22nd would be when fall starts, which is the September equinox.
Equinox, okay.
The September, I need, there's two dates I need to know in September. My son's birthday, which is the 14th, which I mentioned.
Yeah, that's one.
And then my mother's birthday, which is the 29th.
Ah, very good.
And she was somewhat giving me grief because I'm not going to be in town because I'm going on a quick little golf trip on her birthday.
You're going to miss her birthday.
I'm going to miss her birthday. But I said, well, you just have to make sure you have another one.
get to that next one.
Just make sure you have another one.
It's always getting to the next.
The next one will be a big one. We'll have to have a party for that one.
Next one would be, yeah. I don't know
Is that Preston Smith?
I mean the next one after this.
Yeah.
The next one is 89, whatever is 80. Who wears 89?
There's no Santana famous. Maltz.
Santana.
Okay.
Santana.
He retired his number here.
Yeah, wasn't paying attention to it.
Didn't retire his number.
Well, put him in the Ring of Fame.
Yeah, I was thinking actually of defensive players. That's why I don't know why.
Yeah, you start thinking defensive linemen.
Once you get up
at
there.
At that point.
Yeah.
Like big beefy D linemen. It's kind of the move.
Yeah. So she'll be Santana Moss in about 2 weeks. But I didn't realize it already official. I mean, it feels like fall. Let's be honest.
Well, it will. It won't really today and then tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be 88.
Uh-huh. Well, today.
I'm not digging that.
I see you shaking your head at that.
Yeah, I loved the last couple
of
days.
You hate the high temps.
I mean, the spitting. I mean, the,
I know,
like,
that's
the mist.
So annoying.
That's annoying.
I need the sun. I don't like cloudy.
Yeah.
You know, misty.
70 degrees and sunny. Perfect.
So great. A historic day yesterday for the Washington football franchise.
Finally.
As it seems like they had several votes, but it was the final vote to approve the RFK deal. The ownership group got it done.
I found it.
You have to give them credit. They got it done.
Give them credit.
Snyder was trying to do this for years. We joked about this before the show. I mean, the narrative when they hired Bruce Allen, and I'd have to go back to look at the year that I guess they came in with Shanahan, right? So that was about 2015, 2016. I might not have the year correct, but it's a long time ago, was that Bruce Allen was going to be the guy that would close the deal on RFK. Couldn't do it.
Here's why politicians are annoying just across the board, because they're there for the final vote. And then all the council members, they're trying to get the last minute add-ons and like, oh, let's add this. Let's add this to the, and the commanders are like, no.
Oh yeah,
no,
right.
We're not adding all these things that you want at the end. Yep. We've got the votes. Go to the vote. Get the votes in. We've got them.
By the way, it was 2009.
With your 11th hour requests.
Yeah. 2009. That's
why people, both sides, hate politicians.
I know. Yeah. It's so
Everybody annoying. Should hate politicians. You know what, everybody in the country.
You know what it reminded me of? Remember how we always were told the stories, legendary stories of how like promoters or like PGC would be out doing an event.
Yes.
And like Jay-Z would be performing at the nightclub or right. whatever. And they get there and the fans are all hyped up and he's getting ready to go on stage and he would demand another $25,000 or right. else he'd leave.
Right.
And then the place would go into pandemonium if he sure. left. That's what it felt like with the 11th hour politicians.
Yeah, like you're getting hijacked. You know, like you're getting stuck up. You know, it's 100%. Like, stop. Stop with it already.
Trying to get their last bits in. But I'll be honest with you. I totally took it for granted.
I kind of did too.
I didn't sweat it.
I thought it was always going to happen.
And then once they were doing the, you got to tell there was some shenanigans late, like you mentioned. They're holding them up hostage there to try to get a little more sweetener in there for them. I didn't sweat it. I figured I'll just wait for the announcement.
Well, it's a big deal. We're going to have the mayor, D.C. Yep. Mayor Muriel Bowser, on the show at 8:25.
Finally.
And again, Bruce Allen was hired. I was only 5 or 6 years off.
You're off
in 2009.
Then.
It's early in the morning.
Right.
I had to kind of do the math when Shanny came over.
Mm-hmm.
But you're looking at 15, 16 years, really 20 years that they were trying to get it done. And the previous regime couldn't even get close to it. This ownership group has done it in 2 years.
They were tied to toxic Daniel Snyder that nobody wanted to do a deal with.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, the Harris group gets it done. Props to them.
It all worked out. It finally worked out.
Yes.
Well,
and then they'll be playing there in 2030. Hopefully we're alive to see it.
let's all hope.
Such optimism.
Let's just make it to 2030.
Typical, bro. Mid-50s is a dicey, dicey time of your life.
Choppy waters. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
No, I think it's exciting for Washington fans, especially the older fans that grew up going to games. It's a big deal. We'll see what it ends up.
They're the ones that really need to hang on for the five years, the old codgers.
Well, it's not even like older people. Like I know for my book, I talked to Steve Sands, mm-hmm. and he grew up with a family that had tickets going all the way back to Griffith Stadium.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he talked about what it was like going to games at RFK and going to playoff games. And so I don't think you have to be some 70 to 80 year old guy. You could be somebody who's our age who grew up going to RFK.
I went to RFK several times, obviously, as a kid and as a teenager, but I never got to go for a Redskins game. Kind of missed out on that. I mean, I went for concerts. I went for H festivals. I went DC United games and the random like military bowl games.
I think I went to one. I think my father brought me when I was, I don't know, 8 years old.
But I mean, from watching all the old clips, it looks like an amazing experience, obviously, going to a game at RFK during the glory years.
Yep. Well, that's what Charles Mann was talking about yesterday.
Right.
He said he was hoping it would come back. Now, who knows what they'll be. Hopefully, it'll be called Northwest Stadium.
He's still also hoping it's coming back because he owns a company that does, like, I think it's a construction company or something along those lines where he wants to get a piece of that pie of what's going on down at RFK. And can't blame him. It's going to be lucrative.
Next thing I'm waiting for is I just want to start to see like the real renderings of what this thing's going to look like.
Right. Who the architect is, what's their past work, what does it look like, what stadiums have they built already.
Let's see all the different options. I'm sure we won't get them. I'm sure we'll probably just get, for the most part, the final product. Please don't do it like they did, like the name, and have people vote. Just, you know, make your own decision.
Yeah, don't do that.
Make your own decision, but I just can't wait to see maybe various submissions from different firms. And it's that part is exciting to me. Where they actually play the games on Sunday, for me, not a big deal. But just adding to the architecture and just potentially having one of the, hopefully, greatest stadiums in the league. Look, they can't put some middling stadium. That's good. It's got to be.
There's no way.
It's got to be one of the top five.
There's no way Harris is doing that.
There's no way this group is just going to take some bare bones budget stadium. They're not gonna have the Spirit Airlines of stadiums in DC.
No, it's gotta
no
be
chance.
It's gotta be cutting edge, right? Just everything about it. It's gotta be It's got to pop.
It's got to be spectacular.
It's going to be the nicest stadium in the country.
It needs to. It needs to be
maybe
in
the world.
It needs to be in that discussion.
It will. It will be. They always are.
I think architecturally and just amenities, all of that for fans, for the guys, everything.
I mean, $4 billion, a lot of money. It's going to go a long way.
It's a lot of dough.
Yeah,
it's a lot of coin.
That's what I'm excited about. I kind of took that vote for granted yesterday. Wasn't sweating it at all. Actually,
just being back in the city is great for teams.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, there was a period of time where a lot of the teams played in the suburbs, the Capitals, the Wizards, mm-hmm. and obviously the Redskins were out in the suburbs.
I like but that, now, by the way, because it was 10 minutes away from where we live. I was a fan of that.
Selfishly, you liked it.
Yeah.
But you've seen this trend of getting teams back in the city. Now you've got all of the teams back in the city, Wizards, Caps, mm-hmm. DC United. And now the Commanders will be back in 2030.
Back where they belong. So the Commanders will be making their return RFK site in 2030. Hopefully that they stay on that timeline and the stadium opens for the 2030 season.
I think it will. I trust them.
Yeah. They're going to get it done. All right. Here's your guest lineup for today. It's a long one. Did Jason book all these guests today? Is that what happened?
No, none of them, but it's my kind of show. Can we add a couple more?
I don't know if there's room. Right. Brian Baldinger is joining us at 7:20. As he does every week.
Love Baldy.
Dave Richards on at 8, because, hello, there's a game tonight. Week 3 in the NFL starts tonight, so you can get your fantasy questions answered by Dave. D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser will be here at 8:25 to victory lap the RFK deal. Kirk Morrison, former Raiders linebacker and current color analyst, is going to join us to talk about the Commanders' opponent, as is Jen Hale, Fox sideline reporter for the Raiders-Commanders game. Coming up on Sunday, she will close out the show coming up at 9:45.
And we've got to do our survivor pick.
We have to figure out if we're taking the Buffalo Bills tonight against the Dolphins. So we'll do all of that today on an Open Line Thursday on the Junks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
How important is it to you, Danny, that the design looks like the old RFK?
That's a great question.
I think that's high on my priority list, actually.
Yeah. I'd like it to evoke it in some way, which, again, is very easy for me to say. I'm kind of waving my hand at it. Well, what does that mean, evoke it? You want a nondescript bowl? Do you want a stone sort of cookie-cutter stadium that was all the rage in the 60s and 70s when that thing was built? No, not exactly. So I'd like kind of that. What they do a lot of those, a lot of houses that my on the shows my wife watches on HGTV, outside it's like, this is our, you know, I can't remember all the words, our Cape Cod or our rustic this or that and our Rambler, all the different words that they use, and the words like portcullis and pergola. They just use pergola like everyone knows what that
pergola
is. And then inside it's very modern and sleek and it looks a certain way, even though outside it's not that. I want that to a degree, right? It's got to be convenient. It's got to be easy. But I would love it to somehow remind me of going to those games as a kid, even though I couldn't go that often.
I want it to look like the old RFK and look very DC on the outside. And to your point, there's really no reason to worry about the inside, because you can't build something that's going to cost as much as this, new and state of the art, that's not going to cover a lot of bases. But I mean, there are things I care about, like concessions is going to have to be high on the list. I mean, they've got to find a way to not charge people, you know, $150 to eat and drink with their spouse at a game. Let's go to Sean, who's in Auburn, listening on the Odyssey app. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys. War Eagle.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, yeah. So the question is, top three restaurants, like DMV spots. I talked to you earlier about this in the summertime. Last time I wanted to see if you guys had thought about it and know which one you want, like top three restaurants you want as a concession stand sub stadium.
Yeah, so let's go Pupatella Pizza.
That would make good sense.
Let's get some Pupatella slices.
Yeah, that would make good sense.
I think that would make some sense.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go with a wing spot that's local here. Is there a specific wing that you would want?
That's so hard. I mean, the like Patriots Pub in Fairfax, for example, is fantastic. But like that, I don't know how well that would do. Yeah, I don't know how well that would do.
You say Hard Rock?
Yeah, Hard Rock Cafe. Their wings are pretty good.
Hard Times.
Hard Times, you're thinking of.
Hard Times would certainly
work. They had one of those at Nats Park, so they'd be in the game.
Yeah,
I like that idea. Something like that would be cool. I think...
The Italian store?
Anything from the neighborhood, from the environment around here where, you know, like, there's this sub place in the city right here that I love called Cornucopia. Like, if Cornucopia had a spot where they had sandwiches at the new stadium, let's go. Like, make it unique like Nats Park does.
I love Bub and Pops, for example, but they're very Philadelphia, and they tell you they're Philadelphia, so it's like you can't
They don't
come.
Get to come in.
Yeah, you can't come in.
They don't get to be in.
You're not welcome. Like, respectfully, I love you guys, but you're
but
not welcome.
But I don't need, like, as much as your boy loves chicken tenders and french fries, I need a couple of those, like, you know, they call it Grand Slam Grill or whatever at a baseball game. It's a home turf advantage grill or something. We need a couple of those. But, yeah, let's do this right. My big concern, though, is you get to these new stadiums, how do you pay for everything?
Yep.
All of a sudden, you're spending $14 for your hot dog and $26 for your beer, and you get chicken tenders, French fries, and a souvenir Coke, and it's $51.
Yeah.
Like, no thanks. Aaron's in Maryland. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, Grant. What's going on, Danny?
Hey, buddy.
I just wanted to say something about the RFK Stadium. I'm 30. I never experienced RFK, but growing up, I always experienced FedEx. At night games, seeing the light shining ahead, that was great when I was a kid in the early 2000s. But RFK still has, like, this meaning to me, even though I've never experienced. So if they make this new stadium with the RFK, they have to. Because, like you said, it got its own entity. That's all I got.
So you're saying it has to be in part of the name? You want RFK, the name of the place?
Yeah, for sure.
And to look like it. Yeah, I think that's going to be the demand that most people have. By the way, did we brush way fast through this guy saying War Eagle a couple calls ago? We never acknowledged that, like we're Paul Feinbaum or something. That was something.
Calling from Auburn.
Yeah.
Just War Eagle.
I know where he called from.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was the first War Eagle we've ever gotten, I think.
Is that our first one?
Unless it was that guy who's done it before. Like, who's calling next? Someone from Alabama is going to get upset about the War Eagle
Roll
guy?
Damn time.
Phyllis and Mulga. Let's go to Mike Calvert. What's up?
How you doing, boys?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I just wanted to present a logistical issue for the waterway. I used to work on the police boat down there, and you got to navigate past the CSX bridge, which only has about a 4-foot clearance, so you can only get a John boat or a jet ski under it. And once you get down there, it's only about 2-foot water by the banks. So
is it still that way?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, you got to get past that bridge. Unless they make that bridge a drawbridge, then, I mean, you can get a John boat down there or a jet ski, but that's it.
Yeah, if it's a drawbridge, then you're already dealing with traffic congestion as it is, et cetera. So it leads me to my thing that is the most must-have to me.
Roll Tide, Mike, Roll Tide.
Yeah. I don't know what does Calvert have in terms of catchphrases, mascots, or things. But the ease of access. Any way that I'd like to get there, I need to be able to get there without a problem. And that would include, by the way, picking up if I want to go to Salt Line right by Nats Park before the game, I should be able to jump on a little, you know, whatever you call it, a little trolling boat and zip on up the waterway or pick it up in Alexandria, or if I want a metro, if I want to drive, whatever I want to do, you can't limit me.
So they've talked about that as a possibility. I've always thought it sounded far-fetched. I'll take that guy's word for it. I don't know anything about those details. I'll believe that he's right. That's something that has to be figured out. It means added expense, right?
Yeah.
To some extent for the city, you're going to make the money back in the long run. But look, when you do billions of dollars worth of project, there's going to be added expense along the way. Elijah, what's up? DC, how are you?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, buddy.
What's going on, fellas? Thanks for taking my call, man. I love it, man. I think it's really cool for the city. I don't like that there's no tailgating. I think that kind of changes things a little bit.
That's a bummer.
Now, luckily, man, it kind of hurt when I heard you say that. I didn't know about it until you said it, like, 15 minutes ago. I said, no way. Now, what I do think they can do is the surrounding areas of the Nats, how they have like these container parks, I also the water, like Anacostia Park, is kind of slick. Or what? I played a gig in Baltimore the other day for the Ravens opener, and what they did was they kind of created like they take like a truck and a TV on like this jumbotron. They have like some drinks and they have like a band. And if DC and if we can figure out a way for like the surrounding areas to kind of have like a little ports of, you know, like these little ways that you can kind of like, oh man, it's like some tailgating s things for the Commanders game right here. Maybe I can go here.
That's kind of the whole neighborhood. That's the plan.
That's the idea. Yeah,
is that there's going to be little pop ups and fields and lots and things where something can happen. There's just it's going to be mostly parking garage parking. You can't tailgate in a parking garage. And there's a limited number. We're talking a few thousand spots, period, as it is. So they're going to tell you there's going to be some tailgating. It's a very, very limited amount.
Some. Yeah. Real quick, we were in New Orleans, and you show your ticket almost a mile away from the stadium. You get on the grounds, and the whole place is a tailgate. That it, sort of party environment I thought was great.
Party environment, yes. Not a tailgate, though. Tailgate is out of your truck and your chairs.
You're just sitting there throwing bags or doing whatever, eating and drinking.
And I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm just saying it's a huge difference for someone like me who likes to tailgate.
No, I know.
You can't tailgate in New Orleans at all. But you're right. There's a party atmosphere where you go in and it's like a block party where you can play bags and drink beer, but you got to pay for everything and there's a concert and a band. I'm not saying it's not fun and they won't be able to do stuff like that. But what people have done at the Bad Stadium for a long time that they've gotten used to that they love, the one good thing about it is you bring your food and you sit there and you have a lot of space and huge parking lots and you actually get to grill and cook and pregame and watch football on TV at your car and then do it after the game. And that's not going to be a thing at this new stadium. Mm-hmm. That's one of the drawbacks.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
The 72 championship game, Kev, was better. It was New Year's Eve, and it was a party unlike any I've ever been to. Thank you for that, Tom. I appreciate that. A lot of you tweeting in. Phone lines are open. RFK is being demolished. It is being taken down sort of piece by piece. I don't know if you've seen the pictures. I will tweet out some of the pictures that I've seen. In fact, I just retweeted one of them right now. And look, in 5-6 years, we'll have a beautiful new stadium and a beautiful new area in town. And I think, actually, for me, in many ways, as a DC resident, just being able to do that to that area of town will be so great for the city. I don't know how it pencils out ultimately, you know, how much the team and Harris and company benefit from this more so than the city or vice versa, but I have a feeling it'll be an ultimate win-win for both. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Yes, the 72 championship game, New Year's Eve 1972, a mild night. Earlier in the day, the Dolphins had beaten the Steelers in Pittsburgh, by the way. These were the 72 Dolphins. You know, one of the interesting facts about the NFL in the early 70s is there wasn't home field advantage in the playoffs. There was a rotation of divisional host situation. So, you know, Washington got lucky in that they ended up playing a wild card team in Dallas. Dallas was a wild card team in 72, but the NFC East was actually supposed to host regardless, as long as it was in the NFC Championship game. But the Dolphins, the 72 Dolphins, the undefeated 72 Dolphins, had to play the AFC Championship game in Three Rivers at Pittsburgh, because it was that particular year was AFC Central. That's what the division was called back then. The AFC Central, it was their year to host the AFC Championship game if one of their teams, a division winner, Pittsburgh was, made it. So Miami won early in the day, and then Washington on a very mild, damp New Year's Eve, weather was not a factor, destroyed Dallas 26-3 and went on to Super Bowl VII to face the Dolphins. Yeah, both times Washington beat the Cowboys in the NFC title game. They went on to face Miami in the Super Bowl. Lost Super Bowl VII, won Super Bowl XVII. All right, 301-230-0980. The RFK thing is done, finally, we think. I'm pretty sure this second vote, for whatever, you know, for whatever reason it needed to take place, it did take place 11-2. They only needed 7 this time. They only needed simple majority. Last time they needed 2/3, and they got 2/3 last time. It's a done deal. The agreement between the city and the team, by the way, these additional amendments were not voted on, that the city council came to the team with in the 11th hour. I don't know if some of that stuff will get worked out on the side, or whether or not it will be, you know, put into the agreement as an amendment, but it was not voted on yesterday, and so we'll see what happens moving forward. Hopefully, no hard feelings, just business, and they move forward together to get this deal done. But at the same time, RFK is coming down. I just retweeted, if you want to go to at Kevin Sheehan DC to see some of the pictures of what RFK looks like there in the final stages of the demolition. Some memories of RFK Stadium. Greg in Gaithersburg. Greg, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. I think we're probably pretty close to the same age, but we had seats in 527. And I had a lot of memories back from those days.
Yeah.
Two that were standout-ish. One was when Larry Brown broke the 1,000-yard mark. I think he was the first Redskin to ever do it. And they stopped the game. They gave him a ball. And, I mean, he always looked like a warrior. He was beat up.
He always did, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. The other time was, it was a Monday night game, and it was the I Like Sunny, Billy era.
Yeah.
And we were down. Kilmer was quarterbacking. They brought Sunny in.
Yeah.
We went ahead, and then on the last play of the game,
Walt Garrison.
I'm not sure if it was Randy White, but threw a pass to Walt Garrison on the 1-yard line.
Yeah.
And Kenny Houston nailed him and stopped him, and the Skins won. That stadium was unbelievably insane. I couldn't talk for a week after that game. But those were two of my most
memories. The Ken Houston tackle of Walt Garrison right before he was about to cross the goal line on the final play of the game is one of the true memorable, iconic plays in Cowboy Redskin history. You know, that tackle, Ken Houston was such a great player. He's in his first year. It's early in the 73 season. They're playing on Monday Night Football, of course. And they had played in the NFC Championship game the year before. And as you said, the Cowboys were up 7-0. Sonny came into the game. He threw a touchdown pass, I think, to Charlie Taylor. And then Brig Owens picked off a Craig Morton pass. Craig Morton was the quarterback on that final play. He's the one that threw it to Walt Garrison, and yeah, that place insane that night. And Sonny was incredible in that game. Yeah, good one, Greg. Thanks for that.
We were in the stands. We were in the lower stands that were on springs and wheels, and I mean, they were just going up and down. It was just. I get chills just thinking about it.
Yeah, that game, it's very interesting. There's so many Washington-Dallas games available on YouTube, as they were called by CBS. by ABC, who had Monday Night Football. But that game doesn't exist anywhere in terms of the actual call. You can find portions of the 72 championship game on CBS, but you can't find that game. And that was a big-time matchup, Dallas-Washington on Monday Night Football. In fact, that's the first time they ever played. I believe it's the first time they ever played on Monday Night Football. Look that up, Max. Just Google Skins Cowboys Monday Night Football history and see if the first game was the 1973 14-7 game. Skip, go ahead.
Hello, Kevin.
What's up, Skip?
You know which one I'm going to mention. My first NFL game ever. I was a kid. My uncle, he was a bit of a hustler. He got me a ticket, took a cab. Parents put me in a cab, went to the game. Giants versus Redskins, 1966.
Wow. That game.
The highest scoring game ever.
Still in NFL history. Yeah. Still it is. It still is.
Second is the Chiefs and
Rams.
And Rams game.
Yeah.
Okay. That everybody knows about. So this game, it's an interesting game because they scored 72 points. Jurgensen, only who, you know, had many very high yardage games, but not this one. Only 145 yards passing. However, 124 of those yards were to the great Hall of Famer Charlie Taylor, who had two long touchdowns. Bobby Mitchell had a touchdown. But they also had defensive touchdowns. That's where they got the number of points.
Well, the famous story about that game, which Sam Huff told many, many times over and over again. Go ahead.
Let me tell it. I was going to save that for him. But Brig Owens had an interception return and two other interceptions. He had a total of three interceptions, the late, great Brig Owens. And also Ricky Harris had a punt return.
Yeah.
But the most memorable part of the game was the end, which I stayed to the very end. And it was 69-41. They were driving. The second-string quarterback was in the game. And Sam Huff, who had just been traded from the Giants, the great Hall of Famer Sam Huff, he wanted to stick it to his old team. And he told the coach, kick a field goal. Normally, they would just run out the clock. Kick a field goal.
Yeah, Otto Graham was the coach.
Otto Graham, yes, the great Hall of Famer Graham was our coach at the time. And he went to him and said, kick the field goal. Rub it in.
Right.
You know, Sam, if anybody knows Sam Huff, that sounds just like him, right?
It does. He told that story so many times. It was Charlie Gogolak, the first soccer-style kicker that kicked the field goal. By the way, I'm looking at the box score where they have what the point spread was. Washington that day was a 17-point favorite over the Giants. The Giants were terrible. They were 1-8-1. Washington was 5-6 going into the game. By the way, Skip, Washington Giants still the highest scoring NFL game of all time. The one you went to, November 27th, 1966, 72-41, 113 points total. Number two is not the Rams Chiefs. Number two is Bengals Browns in 2004. Cincinnati won 58-48, 106 points, and then Rams Chiefs is the third highest, that Monday night 54-51 game. Thanks, Skip. Let me get to some others. Jimmy in Silver Spring. Jimmy, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, what's up, man?
What's up, Jimmy?
I remember I'm calling about that Monday night game. I have a personal story.
The Cowboys Skins 83 Monday night game?
Yes. We were at a house party. My friend had a house party, and Vernon Dean drives up in his burgundy Porsche with his supermodel girlfriend, and all night long he's talking about, check me out, Monday night, the Cowboys. Well, of course, what you didn't mention in those two,
Vernon Dean was on Tony Hill?
Yeah, twice. and after that game, I don't know if you remember this, but after that game, the Redskins were known as the Pearl Harbor Crew. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. All year long, they were the Pearl Harbor Crew.
Right.
That was the irony of that. Yeah, they plus 42 in the turnover margin, all-time record, the 83 Skins. But they gave up, you know, 48 to the Packers, 31 to the Cowboys, 35 to the Raiders, 38 to the Raiders in the title game. They got torched all season long. That's why I'll never say, you know, some guys that played on the 83 team think it was better than the 82 team and better than the 91 team. It was not better than the 91 team. The 91 team's defense was absolute shutdown. They shut out three of their first five opponents in 91.
Hey, man, like I said, I'm a Cowboys fan, and I just remember Vernon Dean, and I remember his hot girlfriend and his hot car talking all that smack and thinking years like toilet paper. Love the show, man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jeff in Vienna. Jeff, RFK stories, nostalgic stories as RFK is being torn down. And the stadium agreement, the Stadium Act, was finalized yesterday. Go ahead.
Kevin, mine are more music related. I will say that as a non-Commanders fan, that Summer All Madden opening anytime there's a game at RFK was just off the charts.
The best.
Oh, it was so amazing. Couple quick music anecdotes. Stone Steel Wheels Tour 89.
Yep.
My buddy's sister worked in one of the concession stands. And she goes, come on, walk with me. And we started walking down those ramps underneath the stadium.
Yeah.
And we turned the corner. I'm standing next to some 6 foot tall, greatest looking woman I've ever seen in my life. Jerry Hall.
And Jaggers.
We were directly behind the stage. They finished the last note of Brown Sugar. They went right in front of me, like 15 feet away in the van and out of the stadium. And in 93, Sting was an opener on the Dead Tour that year.
Yeah.
And I was backstage. He was screaming at the top of his lungs at the stage manager that he wasn't turned up loud enough in the mix.
Right.
He was having a total meltdown backstage, and it was just so entertaining.
Jeff, I went to a lot of concerts at RFK too, a lot of HFS festivals, but the noise for concerts, the stadium was built in such a way that the noise was retained in the stadium. It didn't get out. I mean, I saw the Jackson's Victor, you know, the Jackson 5 Victory Tour. That was insanity. I saw U2 on the Zoo TV Tour in 92, probably.
I saw Genesis there,
so many people there that I remember, but I remember how loud it was for concerts.
Right. And July 4th, 1990, Paul McCartney on 4th of July was crazy good.
Okay.
And for me, the easiest thing was climbing off the Metro, make a right-hand turn, you make another right-hand turn, and you're walking, and you're right there, right in the front door. I never drove there because it was just too easy to take the Metro.
Yeah, and you know, when you would get to the stadium, I've had people kind of reminisce this way too. It's like, as you're walking up those ramps, you know, to get to whatever level, and then you get to that opening where you can see, you know, as you're walking through that tunnel to get out to the stadium, and then you look down on the field, and it was just spectacular. Like I've said this before, I can still put myself back in that stadium and feel it and smell it. Like, you know, we were all there so many times. It's just part of the whole thing. Yeah, incredible. Good stories, Jeff. Ron in D.C. Ron, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. Hey,
yeah.
Back in the day, my pops was a beer vendor for Budweiser at RFK for B&B Catering. So when I was old enough, about 12 or 13, to sell sodas and hot dogs, I never missed a game at that point. I don't think that was back in 89, 90.
Yeah.
First game was a Cowboy game, and last game was a Cowboy game at the stadium. My only regret is that I didn't have my camera that last game at RFK.
Yeah.
We beat the Cowboys and we ran out on the field. But my favorite game was that, I think it was a Monday night game where Troy Aikman got sacked in the end zone.
And that was not a Monday night game. That was 92, Skins defending champs. Cowboys would ultimately win the Super Bowl. This is a big part of that, you know, that Cowboys Netflix documentary. That game was a massive game for Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson to come into RFK and And well, in 91, they beat the Skins. 92, they were on their way to the division title. And Aikman got sacked. Jason Buck, you had, you know, he tried to push it to Emmett Smith in the end zone. And Danny Copeland came out of the pile with it. And yeah. Washington won a crazy finish. And it ultimately, you know, was the game that Washington needed to get back to the playoffs.
Yeah, nobody knew who had the ball. I remember that.
Yeah,
he had the ball
exactly.
At the yard line, raising it up in the air.
Exactly. So now
Now as a D.C. police officer, I still live and work in the area. So I've been seeing the demolition of the stadium, and I swear every time I drive past it every day, I got those memories of old RFK.
Yeah, thanks for that. Appreciate that. This, by the way, from Ernie, Giant fan, Raul Alegre. Do you remember? Yes, I do. That was another one of those silencing moments. Skins opened up the 89 season or 88 season? 89 season against the Giants on Monday Night Football. Washington was a mainstay opening up seasons on Monday Night Football. They did it many times. And it was a back-and-forth game, an incredible game. This is the height of Washington Giants, all right, because the Cowboys had sloughed off. They were at the beginning of the Jerry era, and Raul Alegre made a 52-yard field goal at the gun to beat Washington on opening night 27-24, and it was silence. Silence. I do remember that very well. Thank you for that, kind of. Steve in Houston. Steve, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Goon?
What's up? What are you doing, man?
Hey, man, going down memory lane, man. Dude, I got two. I have one recent. I have an RFK, and I have a Northwest Stadium. Do I need to be comfortable and just talk about RFK?
Yeah, it's RFK here today, Steve.
Okay, I'll be coachable. dude, my man Jaron and I, you know, another Carroll grad like your dad, Archbishop yep. Carroll, salute. 1995, we go to, what was that, against Detroit Lions.
Yeah, is this the Darryl Green pick six in overtime?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the game was exciting overtime. I think it was 30-30. And for whatever bonehead reason, we left. I don't know why we left, because overtime, you
right.
know. All of a sudden, we're walking in the parking lot, and we just hear the crowd. Wah! It was just like 4th of July, based on the sound of the crowd. And we were like, dude, you mean to tell me we're all in the parking lot, near Benning Road, and we left? And then, you know, I guess we were on the train talking to some people and found out later when we got home that these Darryl Green picked it off and we actually won. Dude, we were so blown and so disappointed and excited at the same time.
Yeah,
but
right.
Unfortunately,
right,
we
right.
had missed
well,
that
I mean, the
moment,
game, I'm looking at the box score. There was no moment in which it would have made sense to leave. The game was up for grabs all the way, start to finish, until it went into overtime. So that's on
exactly.
you.
Zero sense.
Yeah.
It is on me and Jaron.
Yeah.
Him and I were texting. I'm texting him. He's back home in D.C. And I'm saying, hey, look, I'm about to talk about this. And he's doing the whole rundown in our chat. Like, dude, we were idiots. We left. The parking lot exploded. Yeah, that was on us, man.
Totally. All right. Be good, thug. Moment. I'll talk to you later. Let me get to another right, one. Right. Bob in Ocean City. Bob, go ahead.
Hey, your memory's fantastic, Kevin. I got to give it to you. Listen,
well, I mean, I don't know. As I get older, I'm starting to. The problem is, I can remember 30 years ago. I can't remember what I did yesterday. That's the bigger issue.
Amen,
but go ahead.
Brother. First game, 8 years old. So I'm 70 years old now because I remember when it was called DC Stadium. It was just the aura, the smell. You hit it on it earlier. I sat in the end zone in 120, third row. All Washington Star tickets. We knew everybody. Fantastic games. The Eddie Brown game.
Oh, yeah.
In the rain. Where we
the mud game. Yeah.
Okay.
Against the Cardinals.
Got a ball that day. We third row because we had 7 balls in our family because we had 18 tickets in a row. Lots of footballs in the family. We're
wow.
always there. Cowboy games, insane. Off the chart.
Yep.
Intimidating Harvey Martin, talking about he had to see Mr. Ray because he was bald, and Randy White had to tell him who was Mr. Ray over there in PG County.
Yeah, but remember Harvey Martin, when Theismann, you know, took the safety on Monday Night Football in 78, ran through the back of the end zone, taunting the Cowboys. Later that year on Thanksgiving, the Cowboys crushed Washington, and Harvey Martin threw a wreath into the locker room. Remember that? That was not
He must have bought it at Mr. Ray's shop, because I tell you what, we had him jacked up. Everybody in the stands are picking on him. Everybody picked on the Cowboys. Everybody picked on a different man. I just remember Charlie Taylor beating so many quarterbacks for them and talking to Sonny Jurgensen over the years. So many great times, Kevin.
Incredible
I hope
times.
The new stadium brings great memories for the future for us.
And it'll be for a younger generation, but I hope, you know, look, I've got three boys. They never experienced that. Never. You know, taking them to FedEx or them going to FedEx on their own, it just, there isn't one game in the history of FedEx Field that I can think of that rivals, you know, the bottom 15 of big games at RFK. Now, the game that was hyped wasn't the Cowboy-Redskin game at the end of 2012. The following week, for some reason, that playoff game against Seattle, it was insane. But nothing like RFK. Oh, yeah. Denton's made accommodations to join us at 11. So we'll keep taking calls. I see all of you there. Stay there. Share a story, an RFK story, as the stadium's being demolished. And at the same time, the finalization of the RFK new stadium agreement / act was finalized yesterday. More of your calls next.
Oh, it's back at the 10, and it's 3rd and 14. From the goal line, watch out! Ball is out! Picked up for the touchdown!
Iconic Preston Smith play from the 2017 season, a sack fumble from Ryan Kerrigan on Dak Prescott, and then that fumble resulted in a touchdown as Smith scooped and scored. Go crazy at the time, FedEx Field.
That was
Who
a
called
blast.
That play, Danny?
Jim Nantz?
That's Jim Nantz.
Yeah.
There you go. CBS, NFL number one crew. Speaking of which, our NFL conversation is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So the Preston Smith edition is really interesting to me. I actually think he is a dead ringer for what they're trying to do right now up front on the edge. He's kind of a, I don't want to say younger version, because he's actually not younger at all. He's older. But he's a he's similar to Dietrich Wise in a lot of ways. He's 32 years old. He's huge. He's 6'5", 265, so he's a massive person. They want an edge setter who can be tough against the run. And I think Preston Smith, if you tell him this is how we need you to commit, we need you to help us stop the run on the outside here, I think he can be that guy. For 4 years here, then 5 years in Green Bay, then a half season with the Packers last year before being traded to the Steelers at the deadline, he was able to do some of those things. He's super long. He's got length. He can keep tackles off of him. I was wondering and worried about how they're going to replace Wise. I didn't think they had the personnel to necessarily do that, but I actually think Smith gives them a much better chance than what they had in the building before that. No delusions of grandeur here. I know he had 8 sacks a couple years ago. I think whatever you get as a, from a pass rush standpoint is probably a bonus, but I do think his size will help them. They needed that.
Yeah. Here's what I don't know. I don't know what he is right now this minute. I mean, the most of the time when he was in, you know, he was in Washington, then he was in Green Bay, I had a pretty good feel for it. I always felt like he was a slightly underrated player in that regard, because he didn't come through with, I mean, he had one season, I think, of double-digit sacks, but I think he had 12. But for the most part, this was a maybe at times boring and unsexy, little bit of a run stuffer, pretty accountable on the edge, solid all around, pretty good, but never going to be the like TJ Watt headliner or Khalil Mack headliner or, you know, huge difference maker, but you could do a lot worse is kind of the point. I don't know. I didn't follow what he was doing the last couple of seasons, honestly, as closely. So it was interesting that nobody else was interested, right? I mean, didn't that surprise you at all that at this stage, a couple of weeks into a season, you could just go grab Preston Smith? It makes me a little bit dubious that this is like panacea from heaven and we've solved it.
That's a really good point. I mean, and that is the argument, I would say, against him having a big impact or being a super helpful player is, why was he available on September 17th? You've got three organizations that you've played for going back now to the 2024 season, basically, where at some point, somewhere along the way, or I should say the 2023 season, but whether it's Green Bay or Pittsburgh most recently, someone could have said, we either want him or there's enough tape there. You play a lot of teams within the division. Somebody says, you know, he's a useful player. We'll keep him. Now, Dan Quinn did say they've been talking about him extensively for a while. And in reaching out to his camp today and having a quick conversation, it sounds like, you know, there was a lengthy dialogue this offseason about Preston Smith. My guess is probably before they signed Wise or around that time, where they're looking for size on the edge, and he was one of the guys on their short list. Why they didn't decide on him over Wise or why they didn't bring him in with Wise, I don't know. Why he didn't have another home?
Maybe not, price tag, honestly. I mean,
it's possible.
Yeah.
The other thing sometimes with these guys is, like, if you're Preston Smith, maybe you're at a point in your career. It's funny because we think of him as the second round pick that they just drafted who's a young kid. But maybe you're only going to go to a contender because you want a chance to win. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're only going to go to a place where you're actually going to play a lot at this point of your career. And that wasn't an available thing when he could have signed right before training camp. So he was like holding out for that. And now you get that opportunity. So you were just waiting for an injury and it happened. There's a lot of possible reasons, but I do agree with you. My antenna's up a little bit when you're signing a guy who for 2 weeks of the NFL season was not on a payroll. This was Dan Quinn at his presser today on Smith.
We've actually discussed Preston for a while. Edge, he's strong, you know, proven pass rush ability. We liked his size too. And so with Dietrich being injured, if we had another chance to add another person to that group, it seemed like the fit. And so I've followed him for a long time. I feel like it's one of those players I've known but didn't have a chance to coach and always have wanted to. And so when he was able to come in for the workout and be here, it just felt like a good fit. He saw him hanging out with Kerrigan, you know, for them playing some years together and having that person, okay, this is what we do here, this is how it's going. I'm hopeful that Ryan can help on that onboarding process, but this is a veteran guy who will get up to speed quick. You can tell he's a bright guy, but you can tell he really worked hard to get himself in shape to be ready for the op when it came, and he had a few of them.
That's pretty cool, by the way. He was here. Kerrigan was his mentor as like the veteran player at the time.
That's neat.
Was showing you the ropes, and now he's your position coach. So you come back, and that's about the only thing that you know. I was thinking about seeing this organization through the lens that is Preston Smith, and when you were here, what it was. They were called the Redskins. It's a different ownership group. Every person in the building in every single role is no longer here, basically.
Way more Bruce than you want.
Now you've got a real front office and general manager. You've got, obviously, a coaching staff is different. That's going to happen in a lot of buildings, right? But nothing is similar. The locker room's been completely redone. It's now gorgeous and pristine. You ain't sitting on a stool anymore at your stall, Preston. You know, you got the big padded seats and the beautiful locker room that you've seen. All the facilities have been massively upgraded and renovated, and they poured millions into those. That old AstroTurf field is no longer out there in Ashburn. Beautiful new practice fields as well. I mean, it's all lipstick on a pig of a facility if you're comparing it to an SEC team or, you know, these big money programs in school or some of the top gorgeous facilities like Seattle's on the water in the NFL. But still, I mean, you walk in that door and you go, what team is this? It's not like you've played here before. This is an expansion team. This is an entirely different thing from the name to everything else.
Totally. And the culture of it, I know that's that word is that people always roll their eyes, but that's the biggest thing. It's like, you know, new coats of paint happen or new carpet happens or, you know, a couple employees here and there are different. But the idea that this is a completely different organization than he walked out of to come back, however, what is it, like 7 years later, is pretty remarkable. But yeah, I mean, there are a couple free agent defensive ends or edge type players that were sort of lingering out there, that names that you recognize, right? And he's been, I would say, among the more productive of them. I mean, I'm surprised, frankly, that they haven't called Carl Lawson, who I think played for Dan Quinn in Dallas, who has, again, hasn't been a juggernaut, but you know, was a part-time defensive end like Dante Fowler was before, like a Dorrance Armstrong was before, that 4 or 5 sack type window. But it clearly tells you they wanted this type of player maybe more so than a pass rusher.
Well,
this is the early down defender. Yeah,
it's size. It's stopping the run size, and then you know you get the little bonus if he rushes the quarterback. But again, 8 sacks just a couple of years ago. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not saying if you look at his pass rush win rate or any of this stuff, it jumps off the page, because if it did, I promise you, he would have had a gig. You can't be a stellar pass rusher and not get phone calls. That does not work as an edge. If you're not getting calls, if you're not on a team right now, it's because you're probably not a good bet to get to the quarterback a whole lot. But if he gives you a little bonus there and he can get home, for a team, by the way, where's your pressure coming from traditionally off the edge? We've said Von Miller is going to be their closer. He's been whisper quiet as a pass rusher, albeit not a lot of snaps. It's a very small sample. But through 2 games, has he been overly noticeable? I mean, they didn't get any pressure on Jordan Love.
None.
They had, I think, 2 statistical sacks, one of which he kind of fell down and gave himself up, and Armstrong played 2-hand touch. But other than those 2 sacks, they had 1 more play where they hit Jordan Love in the entire football game.
And that's without a lineman or two from Green Bay, kind of a regular group. So, yeah, that was discouraging on all fronts. That was, I mean, we talked about a million different angles. That was one of dozens that didn't go particularly well for Washington, but that one was a bit alarming. That group couldn't kind of go nuts right there against that offensive line. I mean, because again, they did their job with the run stopping. You held Josh Jacobs to mid 3 yards per carry. I will take that every single time, always. It was the next phase. The whole point of this renovation of the defensive front was, can we stop the run on early downs to put us in good second and long, third and long type situations? They got that.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get home or couldn't come close.
Hey, coming up at 8:45, you'll hear our sit down with Alex Ovechkin. He's a pretty good hockey player.
Pretty good. He's pretty good at what he does.
Started training camp, so you'll hear that coming up at 8:45. Scott Abraham from ABC7 at 9 o'clock as we talk Commanders Raiders. But our pals Grant and Danny have their field trip, and Grant Paulson's on with us right now to talk about where he's going to be, give us a little taste of his show. What's up, Grant?
I appreciate it, gentlemen. How's everybody doing this morning?
Yeah, where are you guys at today for your Friday field trip?
We are out and about in Reston. Show is on the road. We're at Craft House Reston. We'll be there from 2 to 6:30 hanging out. These have been really fun. I know you guys have stopped through some of these. JP will be out with us a few times this year. But it's really cool, man, with the engagement with the fan base and the Commanders again. People have enjoyed getting together on these Fridays ahead of games. So a little pep rally of sorts today out in Reston at Craft House.
Very cool. So what is your lean on who's going to be the starting quarterback on Sunday, if you have a guess?
I've thought Marcus Mariota all week. What I had originally heard, you know, going back even to right after the game when they took the MRI on, I guess it was last Friday morning, was that there was some concern about the knee and the swelling, and that it didn't look like at that time he was going to be in line to play this week, barring a really crazy recovery. And I don't think they put that past him, right? With the rib, he was able to have a high threshold for pain and play through it last year. This is obviously a different thing. But one of 2 things are happening, just based on what I was told, which was to expect, you know, maybe like a 2-week recovery back then. Either he healed a lot faster than was anticipated to the point where they're giving it an opening for him to even play on Sunday, or they're just playing very, very coy, and they know it's almost a certainty he's not going to play, and they're not telling anyone. And because last year we never actually found out he had a broken rib until he said it in the offseason, I'm going to go with that option. I just think that while there's no reason to rule him out now, they're giving him every chance to hit all his markers and to get closer and closer. They feel like probably they benefit from the Raiders not knowing. I don't think they're going to give us any information ever about anything injury-wise. Am I saying it's 100% he's not going to play? No, I just don't know. But I would assume that there's probably more knowledge behind the scenes than they're giving us one way or the other. And my guess is that's a Mariota lean.
So with Mariota under center last year, had a really strong game against the Carolina Panthers when he filled in for Jaden. He was 18 for 23, had a couple of touchdowns. Played the second half against the Cowboys, had the game-winning touchdown pass. What is the Grant Paulson level of confidence that Washington can get a win with Mariota under center?
So it's pretty high, actually. But it's not necessarily about Mariota or last year, because you're right. 2 games, 2 banner performances, he was great. But the offense was humming last year. I mean, when he wasn't in there, obviously, they were elite. They were one of the better offenses over the last couple of seasons in efficiency. And that has not been the case through 2 weeks. I don't think he's going to you know, wave a wand over an offense Jaden Daniels couldn't quite get right the first 2 weeks and just have it take flight. My confidence, though, is in this being one of the great rest differential games in the recent history of the sport non-bye week. I mean, you don't see this. The league tries to actively avoid this at all costs. Washington at home after playing on Thursday with 10 days rest, which is a massive, massive thing in this league, versus a West Coast team that played a late Monday night game, not even a Monday night game, but later than is normally the case for Monday night in the staggered Monday night football doubleheader for the first time. And then they get on a plane at the end of the week to fly cross-country 3,000 miles. So I don't even know if you look this up, like if this has happened at any point, the Thursday versus the late night Monday nighter cross-country travel to the team who hasn't played in 10 days. But if you can't make that work, you got no one to blame but yourself. I know they're banged up. They're maybe without John Bates, Noah Brown, some other guys. But I feel like it's just a game. You're going to be favored in any way at home that if you're an 11-12 win team, you probably should win.
Grant, can you even attempt to figure out the backfield rotation, the running back rotation for the Commanders heading into this game with Eckler obviously sidelined with the torn Achilles? I would assume Chris Rodriguez gets elevated for this game. I mean, it's just going to be a mix of Bill, C-Rod, and obviously Jeremy McNichols in the mix. How do you see that playing out?
So this question's being asked by Commanders Cakes or Fantasy Football Cakes?
Fantasy.
No, this is just straight
Everything with him is fantasy.
I mean, trust me, it's so confusing. I don't want any part of this for fantasy football.
I'm 100% with you, and that's kind of my point.
Yeah.
The fantasy football people that were all in on Kroski Merritt, mm-hmm. I think eventually you're going to be really happy. You got to be patient for a few weeks, and you're going to get driven nuts in the next few weeks. I really believe that. But what I think they're going to do, or at least their plan going in, which doesn't always work out, because their plan this past week in Green Bay, guys, was not to give Kroski Merritt four carries
right. And
get doubled up by Austin Eckler before his injury. That was not their plan when he was coming off of a top five rushing total in the league and number two in rushing yards over expected, you know, per attempt the week before. But I think what they go into this game thinking is, and this might be the thing that nationally will surprise people, I think it's going to be more McNichols in the Eckler role than people think. Mm-hmm. I think he's your, like, two-minute, four-minute, third down, pass catching, pass protector type. Because Kingsbury kind of gave you the answer to that quiz yesterday in the presser when he talked about needing to see more without the ball from JCM. I think they love him as a ball carrier, and they know he can execute whatever they need running the football. But in the out-of-the-backfield target, like your route running, your pass protecting, that's where they probably just feel better about the veteran right now. I think Rodriguez takes the McNichols role from the first few weeks. Think about the Giants game when they have the lead. They salt the game away by running four-minute offense, power, and McNichols is the guy thumping. I think that's probably Rodriguez. But it's a hot hand thing. Like, if Kroski Merritt carries the ball three times for 7 yards, and then they give the ball to McNichols twice and he pops 14 and 9 yards, you know, maybe he starts getting more carries. I just think they're going to roll with whoever's hot. But the plan would be a lot of Kroski Merritt first and second, McNichols as the Eckler, so to speak, I think, and then Rodriguez getting in where he fits in.
All right, Grant, good stuff. You're going to be in Reston. What's the name of the spot again?
Yeah, so it's Craft House in Reston today. Anybody who wants to come out and hang, we'll be there from 2 to 6:30. And by the way, just a good bit for the Junks real quick. Mm-hmm. Last week we were in Leesburg at Spanky Shenanigans, and I texted Jason, and I said, bro, we're in your hood. We're in Leesburg. Come on out. You won't believe how quickly he got there.
It's a great bit.
Wait, let me look at my... No,
hold on a second.
The text still hasn't been responded to.
Hold on a second. You never sent me the text because you don't have my new cell number.
Oh, is that what it is?
Oh, okay. I stand correct.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
You Fish, said, when did you get a new number?
About a
year ago.
2 years
Do you know
ago.
How many baseball questions I've asked some stranger in the last 2 months?
A phantom number. It's a ghost number now.
I mean, I've been popping off Red Sox takes to this number.
You're
all
doing
baseball
that old 314
season.
Number,
just
aren't
getting
you?
No response.
Yep.
Do you have the 314 number?
No, I do not.
You don't?
No, that 314 is the old one.
No, what? Yeah, what's the number you have?
Let's see. We've got it. I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I have.
Yeah, that's so dead.
It's a great bit.
Yeah,
that's dead.
Oh, I had so many good Brian Bayo takes.
I'll send you my new number right now.
Sice. And we'll see you in Reston then, it sounds like, since we got that ironed out.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, brother.
All right. See you, boys.
Thank you, buddy. Have a good weekend, man.
All right, I want to hear from you guys. 800-636-1067.
kind of give us either scenario, right? If Jaden plays, if Mariota plays, we really should win. If freaking Sam Hartman plays, if Ben plays, we should win. But
the second Ben completely.
Why are you skipping over Josh Johnson?
That's kind of a compliment. You think I can get it done at QB? Well,
I want to know why.
Because we're supposed to be a team competing for an NFC championship again, right? We should be far superior to them. We shouldn't be a one-man team. I know that in a lot of ways we are. With Jaden's hot, that's kind of what makes us special. But if we're a legit NFC contender, you got to beat a butt team like the Raiders.
Especially on limited rest.
Regardless of who
they're flying cross-country. They've been the Commanders have been chilling for over a week. Preparing for this game.
Like the Ravens are like Lamar's the straw, right? He stirs everything. He's the key. He's the glue. He's the MVP. But if your backup came in, you would still expect your team to win. You know, especially if you're playing a team
that we get 30 carries.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you're playing a team like, now you're better than us, but the point remains the same, right? If you're playing the Raiders, how many games did they win last year?
Three. The Raiders?
Yeah.
They were picking sixth, so they had
five wins.
Three or four wins.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you should beat them, regardless of your quarterback.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, they had a backup quarterback playing the whole year last year. Now they have Geno. Now, Geno has not been great.
Geno's an up and down guy.
I know.
He can be up.
If Geno Smith.
They did upgrade based on talent.
Well, if Geno Smith and Ashton Jeanty, who can't get going through two games in his NFL career, come here on limited rest and beat the Commanders, even with Mariota.
Big concerns.
That's a huge, huge red flag for this team.
I agree.
All right, let's go to Ian, District Heights, 800-636-1067. Your chance to chime in here. Ian, what's up?
What's up? What's up? Good morning. Good morning. Happy morning.
Yeah.
What's up, morning,
buddy?
Nothing much. I'm going with Josh Johnson. I think 10 years in the league, 10 teams. He might be our answer if they don't play.
I don't know if that's the answer.
You don't want to play Mariota. You want to play Josh?
Yeah.
Why?
That's a weird.
You're laughing as you say.
I don't quite understand it, but thank you for the call. I mean, you might be the only person advocating for Josh Johnson.
He played more in the preseason because Mariota didn't play.
I don't know.
There is something to be said for that.
He did play in the preseason.
Now, Cliff was raving about him.
About who?
About Mariota.
Okay.
Raving about him, consummate pro. You heard the clip. We think we have two starters.
Yeah.
And that even in practice when he's running scout team, like.
They value him.
They love him.
Yeah.
They freaking love him. To me, he's Marcus Mariota, you know? Eh. All right, let's go to Marcus Brandywine. Marcus, what's up? You're over the Junks.
What's going on, Junks? How are we doing this morning?
Hey, man.
Good.
Good, good. So I think if Mariota goes, you know, the obvious answer will probably be, you know, hey, we got to run the ball, establish the run, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like with him not having played as much, I think with him, we probably need to get some quick passes out, some drags, some slants, maybe some screens or something like that, just to kind of get him in rhythm. And then you go back to, you know, of course, running the ball. And then once you, you know, establish that run, that'll open up some downfield passes, which at that point, once he's had those short passes, he's in rhythm. I feel a lot more comfortable with him going downfield as opposed to just, you know, coming straight out the shotgun and looking downfield immediately without having any type of experience. Well, not experience, any type of, you know, reps, in-game reps, you know, for the last, I don't know, 5-6 months. So, then he asked a question about the protection. Looking at the Raiders defense, I mean, you know, you have Max Crosby, but when I look at it some more, you just have Max Crosby on the line. So I don't think protection will be an issue if, you know, you send some extra help to Connerly's way, because Max is, I mean, realistically, Max is going to get his regardless of what you do. But I feel like trying to contain him as best as possible, and then getting the ball out of Mariota's hands quickly. This could be I hate to say it, but this could be a really easily winnable game.
I think so.
Regardless of who's under center. So that's my take on that, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, look, Mariota didn't play much last year. All right. But I feel like it was the best system he's had potentially in his career. And he chose to stay in Washington for a reason. He could have been paid elsewhere. He could have competed for a starting job in some spots, not many spots, but he probably could have. And he chose to stay in Washington because he felt comfortable with the system.
The brotherhood.
He liked the brotherhood, but the system fits him. And that's why, like, when he went in there, it wasn't like you're going from Jaden Daniels to a drop back passer. You're going to somebody that has very similar traits to Jaden Daniels, not only throwing, but running the football.
Sure. Just like, you know, maybe 30% less good in every category.
Maybe much less.
I mean,
he might be
as a runner, he's probably
there.
50% the runner he is, right? As a passer.
Yeah, Mariota's still got wheels, though. He can still run.
He doesn't have that kind of...
He's not Jaden, but he's pretty good.
In 13 games in Atlanta when he started, and of course he got benched for Ridder, they went back and forth. Ridder just got a job, I think, this week.
Well, that's a guy that... Look, it could be way worse. You could be turning to a guy like Desmond Ridder instead of Marcus Mariota.
But Mariota had 400...
Like, the Commanders are pretty fortunate to have Mariota if Jaden can't go.
He had 438 yards rushing in 2022 in 13 starts. So is he at Jaden's level? No, but he's above average.
If he starts and finishes an NFL game, Marcus Mariota is probably going to rush for 35 or 40 yards.
Probably.
That's the sort of skill set that he brings.
At least that, yeah. But he hadn't started a game since those Falcon years. I know he's played, but he hadn't started since 22.
I'm reasonably confident in Marcus Mariota if they have to turn to him.
Reasonably.
Yeah. I'm confident. All right, when we come back, we're going to play the OV interview.
Yes.
JP wasn't there.
We were at the OV interview.
Jason and I were there, and I warn you, he's a soft-spoken guy. Mm-hmm. How did it come up? Did he come up very soft-spoken, or does it sound better on the audio? He's a pretty soft-spoken guy, man. We were hanging on every word.
He was very quiet.
Super nice, though.
You get to hear Cakes give him his birthday gift.
To hear Cakes give him the Japanese vodka.
I told him there was probably 20 people watching.
At least.
20 people just staring at us.
You could hear a pin drop.
Yeah, you could hear a pin drop.
For most of that interview.
You could barely hear Ovi. Correct. And he wasn't even putting the mic in his face at first.
You could hear a pin drop on a pillow.
It was awkward. But I think at the end of the day, it ended up okay. So we're going to play that when we come back, and then we'll get back into Skins Raiders with Scott Abraham at 9. Don't go anywhere.
This song's so ridiculous. Yo, my kids now are into some weird music like this. Like, it's like, if you just had it playing, like, I know you like Christian rock, and some of it's really catchy, right? Like, sometimes you'll be in the car, and, like, if you're in a rental car, like, I'm always traveling, and I'm going through the radio stations, and I'll just hear some, like, generic rock song, so I'll leave it on, and then, like, a minute into it, you're like, all right, my man's singing about Jesus here. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you don't realize it at first.
Yeah, of course.
My kids have this sneaky, like, science rock music they're listening to now.
Are they getting smarter?
Maybe I am. Hell, I don't know. Like, we were listening to the song, and it was like this woman singing like a kind of heavy, like, synth pop. And then I realized she's singing about, like, the distance from the sun to different planets. The next song was about the rock cycle.
There you go.
I should know this. I'm listening to this song a lot. What are the three types of rocks?
Igneous,
metamorphic. Is that a thing?
I think so. Maybe not.
Sedentary, sediment.
Sure. And then, like, what? Isn't there like a pig something?
I don't think there's a pig rock.
Well, it's like something more than that.
Landfill, you know the three types of rocks?
Sedentary rock, maybe. I don't know. I know Ignatius.
Ignatius. It's definitely not Ignatius.
I think it's Igneous.
Igneous. Yeah. There you go. Maybe I'm the one that needs these science rock songs.
I bet Jeff knows some different kind of rocks.
Then there's, what did you say, metamorphic?
I was right. I got it.
And then, I don't know, there's the one where they're like, there's like layers and stuff.
Igneous, sedimentary, and metamorphic.
There you go.
Yeah. Shout out to the fourth grade science teacher. He's getting these kids fired up.
Science rock. You just need a math pop song or something that can get you.
Oh, they got it. It's called like hopscotch music. And it's better than Kids Bop. If you've ever listened to Kids Bop, go to Hopscotch. It's better than Kids Bop. And that was Kids Music Talk. Pretty big game this weekend. Toby, Jaden Daniels at the earliest will practice Friday.
Yeah.
What's your gut? What's your intuition tell you about Jaden or Marcus this week?
I think it's going to be Mariota. I don't think you can overlook any opponent. I don't think it's one of those things that you can just immediately go, oh, it's the Raiders, so don't play him. But I'm also not overly worried about Jaden. I don't think that they're going to put him in harm's way. I know some people are going back and relitigating some of what happened last year. And I don't know. I mean, with the rib injury, I think they looked at it and said there was really no chance of further injuring it and putting him in more danger than he already is by being a quarterback on the football field. I don't know that that's the sort of injury that you're looking at here, where if you look at it and say, you know, can he get more hurt by going out there and just doing his normal things? I would say that a sprained knee, you're more likely to have something like that than with a cracked rib. So I think they're going to be cautious with this one. I think they're going to lean to go with Mariota, but it's not something that I'm looking at saying, oh, it's because the Raiders. I'm looking more so at Jaden's health, and I still think they can get it done with Mariota. You know, if they just go out there and execute, you were talking about how the messaging this week seemingly has been do your job. If they just go out there and execute the offense and the defense plays well, I mean, realistically, defensively, if I'm Joe Witt and Dan Quinn, there's two guys I'm circling, and Brock Bowers really isn't 100%. Honestly, like, people are looking at playing Washington this week saying you got him at the right time. I think you got the Raiders at the right time, too. Ashton Jeanty by week 14 is going to be a totally different back than what he is in week 3. Brock Bowers isn't 100%, and Geno, while he shows some capability, threw three picks the other night. So I think you're catching Vegas at the right time, and I think you can beat him with Mariota, but it's not one of those things that I'm saying just because I'm scared and this and that, and because it's the Raiders, I'm starting. I think you truly got to be in the best interest of Jaden. I think miss one game and reevaluate, and I think he'd probably be ready to go for week 4.
For me, it's a three-step process, right? We had Dr. Carter Mitchell join us earlier this week, who's a orthopedic surgeon in sports medicine. Like, he's an expert in the field. And he's like, depending on the sprain, he could be completely fine. Like, people just rule out the Jaden is fine aspect of this. But what Dr. Mitchell also said is, I'm not there. I haven't seen his knee, so yeah. I don't know. Like, one, trust your medicals. Two, coach's eye test. Cliff and Dan are going to watch Jaden like crazy when he does get on the field. And if he doesn't look right, the coach could just sit him. Coach reserves that right. Three, Jaden. Hey, coach, I'm good. Hey, coach, I think I should rest. Like, Jaden will have input in this decision. What is good is that you have an entirely different situation than what so many people are freaked out during the Robert days when Robert was calling the shots and Dan was his enforcer. That won't be the situation here. Josh Harris is not going to text Jaden and then call AP. Like, that's just not how it's going to go.
And when Robert first hurt his knee, you could see his leg bent in the wrong way.
Right.
Like, we're still speculating on which play it was, right? He had flipped over, and the one play he gets up after and holds his knee, those are two separate plays, but nothing looks out of the ordinary for a normal football tackle. So, Robert, you saw when he got hurt. Not necessarily the same thing with Jaden.
Right. I don't think we're going to know till Sunday. DQ hinted that he might make a decision Friday. I think if there's a decision Friday, it means it's Mariota. I think if we don't know till Sunday, it means Jaden has a really good chance because he's going to work out and they're going to see how it goes.
Yeah.
I also think that Mariota was excellent last year, and that gets like lost in the sauce. I think Mariota can win this game with Marcus. If everything checks out and Jaden plays, he should play. That's pro football. Guys play when they're healthy. If they decide to sit him, that's cool too. I think a lot of people need to have a better game this week. And it's not just on who plays quarterback.
Correct.
Like, I think defensively last week, the coverage breakdowns in the secondary, whether that was something Matt LaFleur schemed to confuse Wagner and the safety on the seam route from Kraft, where like, okay, we've watched enough tape. We know the safety's going to go outside, and Wagner then will think he has safety help, whatever that is. Like, that's a straight-up coverage break.
Well, and especially against a team that's going to bring in Brock Bowers. Even though he doesn't seem like he's going to be 100%, that dude can still torch you. And he's going to be a focal point of their passing game. Because outside of him, Jacoby Myers is a good receiver, but I don't think you're super worried about him compared to other teams you're going to, you know, Malik Nabers, you handled him quite well in week 1. He's not Malik Nabers. So, to me, if they can slow down Bowers and Jeanty, you feel good, and I think this is a game that if Marcus starts, you should be able to lean on your defense, and you score 20 points, and you should win.
Agreed. Agreed. Let's play a game, Toby. Who would you like to see have a better game this week than they did last week? I think there's a lot of people we can say. I can start.
Yeah, go ahead.
You want me to start?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd like to see Brandon Coleman have a better game.
Yeah.
I think Brandon Coleman's a really talented young player. I think moving inside the guard helps. I don't think he played his best. He did have to come out. It seemed like he got banged up there a little bit. I'd like to see Brandon Coleman have a better game.
I'll go on the other side of the ball. Frankie Louvu, I don't think, has been his usual self, like what we saw last year through the first two games of the season, especially in Green Bay. I'd like to see Frankie have a big-time impact, that physicality, coverage, just getting after the quarterback, getting after Geno as well. Just feels like we haven't seen the same Frankie yet. If you can have a big impact Louvu game, I think it'd be just fine.
I'd like to see Javon Kinlaw have a really – week one, he was excellent.
Yeah.
Last week, a lot quieter. I'd like to see more from Javon Kinlaw.
Mikey Sammer still. Mikey, we kind of understand what he is at this point. He's a really, really good, solid corner, and he really struggled last week. Just really, really struggled last week. A lot of guys did, but if Mikey gets back to himself, yeah.
A little bit of breaking news here. There was some talk that after Dietrich Wise went down, Washington might call Clelin Ferrell again. Clelin Ferrell just signed with the Chargers.
Ooh.
Washington made their decision to go with Preston Smith. So in turn, Chargers were able to scoop up Ferrell. Not a big surprise, not a...
No, Preston honestly seems more along the same body type as Dietrich, right? Like, long arms, can set the edge in the run game. Because it's not like Dietrich Wise was brought in to be the pass rusher. Even though he can get some pressure, he's more so a run defender on the edge. I think Preston can give you just that.
Yeah, I mean, what Dietrich does is just has a really – he's a really high motor guy, too. I think you're going to see, like, kind of a Jalen Holmes, Preston Smith split here.
Yeah.
It was great to just see and talk to Preston yesterday. Now, I've seen him over the years, especially when he's with the Packers. And, like, but, like, when he saw me yesterday, he's like, yo, what's up? Like, it was cool for those of us that have been here long enough. I mean, Preston Smith last played here in 2018.
Wow.
There's not a lot of people still here that were there then. I mean.
It's going to be weird to see him not 94, by the way.
I know. 52. Yeah. I'm trying to think. Me, Keim, Mitch. As far as guys that are people that are here every day, Kerwin.
Not a whole lot.
Chick.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird. And he was talking about like how different everything looks. The locker rooms are redone, and to me, what I think must stand out the most is that like. Preston and Kerrigan are close, yeah. And now Kerrigan's the coach.
Yeah.
It's such a unique thing.
I think it'd be interesting at the end of the year to talk to Preston and just get his thoughts on the differences from before now. Because now that he's been away, just recalling things and then coming back, be interested to hear as time goes on, playing games, interacting with ownership, all those things. Be curious to hear just his thoughts on the difference because he experienced the old regime.
Let's talk about what players are under the most scrutiny this weekend as the Commanders look to get back on the right side against the Las Vegas Raiders. Nobody go anywhere. Peter Rosenberg at noon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.